Turn back to that psalm that Brother Dan read, Psalm 13. I'm just delighted to be here this morning. This is like one of these family reunions, you know, you go to, and you haven't seen those people for a long time, but as soon as you see them, you have those remembrances, those treasured remembrances of almost all of you that I've known for ever and ever and ever and a long time, Carla, a long time. And we're thankful to be here. I'm sorrowful that it's under these circumstances. I talked to Brother John Friday night, and he told me just a little bit about what's going on. And I said, I wish there was some magical thing I could say that would just take it away, and there isn't. I said, I can tell you this, that we do indeed pray for you daily. You know, and I was reminded, sometimes in these situations, we say way too much. Back there in the book of Job, we went through the book of Job in our Bible study here a couple years ago. And those three friends of Job's, and they traveled back then, think about this, 4,000 years ago, they traveled to comfort Job in his time of trouble. They'd heard about all that happened to Job. He lost his family, lost all his possessions. His body was racked with pain, sickness, and suffering. And they made that journey, and they came there, and they saw him, and they wept. They couldn't believe, this is Job. And they sat down there. And for 7 days, they sat there with Job, and he didn't say anything. And you know what? That was the best thing them three men did, because when they started talking, it went downhill from there. And sometimes I think we say way too much, and I can say genuinely from our heart, me and Jackie and those brethren and sisters at Grace Fellowship, we think of you all regularly. We pray, we especially pray for your pastor and Vicky, that the Lord's going to remedy this situation. All right, having said that, I want to say, before we look at Psalm 13, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 13. We want to look at a couple of scriptures here in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 16. I want to kind of lay the groundwork of who it is we're speaking about here in Psalm 13, the writer of this psalm. We all know it's King David. But here in verse 16 of Acts chapter 13, Paul stood up. Now, Paul's in Antioch. He's on one of these missionary journeys, and he's in Antioch. He's traveling, and he's preaching the gospel to these Gentiles. And he's in Antioch, and he stood up, and he beckoned with his hand and said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, listen to what I'm going to say here. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm he brought them out of Egypt. You remember that story down there when the nation of Israel was captive down there, and servitude people down there in Egypt, and God sent Moses down there, and with a high hand God delivered those people out of Egypt, which is a very vivid and picture of how the Lord Jesus Christ rescues us from sin and Satan and shame and guilt. He brought them out with a high arm, and about the time of 40 years he suffered their manners in the wilderness. You remember that? They rebelled. They wouldn't go into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb said, God said, let's go in and possess it. And they went in and spied out the land and came back and said, oh my, there's giants over there. We can't whip these people. These people's got weapons and they know how to fight. We don't have anything. And they wouldn't. They wouldn't go. And God turned them back, and they went into the wilderness, and all those men that was over 20 years of age, they died in the wilderness. They was there for 40 years. And then in verse 19, and when the Lord had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, and he divided their land to them by lot, the nation of Israel went in and inhabited that land. Verse 20, and after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. Now, after that, the people, the nation of Israel, they looked around. All those other godless countries around them, they all had kings. God gave judges. God gave those judges, raised up them judges to judge the people, to settle those quarrels and to answer those questions and all. Well, the people didn't want that. They wanted to be like those other nations. They had kings. Why can't we have a king, you know? And so God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, there in verse 21, a man of the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years, verse 22, and when God removed Saul, He raised up unto them David to be their king. Look at this. To whom also God gave testimony. And he said, this is found over in Psalm 89. God said this about David. I have found David, the son of Jesse. He's a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. That's who wrote this psalm. That's David, a man after God's own heart. My, oh my. God never testified about anybody in the Scriptures, any man in the Scriptures like He did David. I found him to be a man after mine own heart. Look over here in Psalm now, Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 14. This same man, King David, he wrote this psalm. You see that, Psalm 27? A psalm of David. Look in the last verse, verse 14. David wrote this. Wait on the Lord. Boy, I wish I could do that. Does anybody here wish they could really take this home and say, I've got a hold of that. I'm going to do this trial, through this trouble, through this sickness, through this pain, through all this walk here below. Wait on the Lord, David said. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say. Wait on the Lord. Isn't that good? Oh, isn't that good? Don't you just wish you had a hold of that with both hands? I heard Henry tell a story. My goodness, I was just a kid. I wasn't much bigger than this little girl over here. Years ago. 60 years ago. And Henry told a story about a farmer way back in his horse and buggy days, way back in the old West. And there was a fellow that had a little old farm outside of town, lived about 8 miles outside of town. And he, on a Saturday morning, he got up, harnessed up the old horse and hooked it to the buckboard, and him and his little boy, about 8 years old, went to town. And he went to town, and there was a town square there, and they had some benches and tables and stuff. And he told that little boy, he said, sit down there. He said, I got some shopping to do. He said, I'll come back and get you in a little bit. And that little 8-year-old boy, he sat down on one of them benches, and there he sits, you know. Well, the father went to the mercantile, you know, and done some shopping and got some grain and loaded it all up in that buckboard, and he headed home. And he got home. It was late in the afternoon. I mean, it was way up 5 o'clock in the afternoon when he got home. Pulled up there in the yard, you know, and his wife ran out and said, where's Joey? He said, oh, my goodness, I forgot him. He's still in town. And they quickly unloaded the buckboard, and back to town the father went. And he pulled up right there at that same bench that he told his son. He said, you wait here. You wait right here, and I'll be back. And there sat that little boy. And his dad pulled up. He said, I'm so sorry, son. I forgot all about you. He said, I didn't forget, Dad. He said, I'm sitting here waiting. I knew you'd come back. I knew you'd come back. Don't you want to be found waiting on the Lord? Don't. I want that to describe me. I want to wait on the Lord. And I'm telling you, these are tough times. We talked about it a little bit in the Bible study. These are tough times we live in. These are tough times in our nation, this world. Scott Richardson say, this world's, God's got it in a handbasket and it's going to hell. And that's true. It's crazy. You pick up the news, you pick up the paper, you turn on the TV, you think, I can't get any worse than this. Just wait till tomorrow. Wait till you turn on Fox tomorrow. It'll be even wilder. It's just, and it's that way all around us. But yet, David said, oh, wait on the Lord. Be of good comfort. Be of good cheer. He'll comfort your heart. Wait on the Lord. Can I really do that? Can I really do that? Wait on the Lord. I want to. I want to be found waiting on the Lord. So let's look at this Psalm 13, knowing who it is that wrote this psalm. This is a man after God's own heart. This is a man that said, wait on the Lord. Oh, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. And David starts this psalm. Now, we don't know the occasion of the writing of this psalm. We don't know what's going on in David's life. We don't know if he's got conflict without. A lot of the old writers say this was after Absalom. After Absalom had wrested the throne from his father, you know, Absalom stole the heart of the people and they turned against David, and David had to leave in shame and went into exile, you know, and Absalom assumed the throne. And some of them say that it's during this period of time that David wrote this. But whatever the conflict that's going on in David's life, we don't specifically know what's going on. But he's in trouble. David's in trouble. And it may be that the Lord will bring us into a time of trouble. And I'm so thankful that this scripture is here. I have read this in the last few weeks. I've read it and read it and read it. This is a man. We know. It's not like you meet somebody on the street, you know, and you haven't seen them for a while and they're telling you all about, you know, their religion and the decision they've made and they've decided to live right and straighten up their life and going to witness for Jesus and all that. Well, you go away, you really don't know what that fellow knows, you know. This God testified about this man. God said, this is a man after mine own heart. And yet David, here he is. Here he is. And he said, how long? You see that in verse 1? How long wilt thou forget me? Oh Lord, how long? Forever? Whatever's going on in David's life here, it's a deep trial. It's severe. David's in trouble. He's weeping. He's in sorrow. His heart is breaking. And when your pastor called Wednesday, I went right to this psalm. I went right to this psalm. I know many of you, and I've said previously, I've known many of you. Me and Cecil were boys together at 13th Street. Little boys. We go way back. We go back. Cecil's dad was the first elder at 13th Street Baptist Church. Jeff Thornberry was the first elder. There's three elders. Cecil Rhodes, Jeff Thornberry, Charlie Payne. There's three elders at 13th Street Church. Me and Cecil was little boys there at 13th Street. I've known him all my life. And yet here he is. He's in a time of trouble. He's in a time of trouble. And we don't understand. God don't, He don't clear these things with us. And He don't give us a clear revelation of why is these things going on? Why is it the Lord has visited your pastor in these troubles? Why is it that this is going on? We may never know. It may not be for him and Vicky. It may not be for them boys. It may not be for us. It may be for somebody that's watching outside. God has a purpose in these things. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God. To them who are called according to God's purpose. God has a purpose in these things. We don't understand them. But it's so comforting to me to see this man. This is a giant in the Scriptures. This is a man of faith. This is a man that looked to the Lord Jesus Christ, rested in His complete and finished work, all his hope, all his help, based on the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet here he is in a time of trouble. And he's poured out. I can just see David. 3 o'clock in the morning, he's woke up. His eyes are that big. Sits straight up in bed. And whatever's going on in David's life, it's intense. He may be weeping. And he said, how long, O Lord? How long will you forget me, Lord? Forever? Have you written me off forever? You ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way? This is comfort. This is comfort. How long will you hide your face from me? You see that? How long? The Lord said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. We know it's coming. If it hadn't visited you, it's going to. I promise you that. I can't make you promises about many things, but I can promise you, in this world, you're going to have trouble. It's a tough place. It's a place of sorrow and weeping and grief. And David's right in the midst of one of these things now. You know, the Lord visited Job with trouble. You remember that? He told Satan, he said, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him. Listen to this testimony that God made of his servant Job. He said, there's none like him. He's perfect. Job's perfect. He's perfect. Like you're perfect. Like I'm perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. The perfection is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and that He freely gives to those for whom He came and died. Have you considered my servant Job? He's perfect. He's upright. He fears God. And he avoids evil. Have you considered him? Satan said, well, you edged him about. You've made a fence about him. Nothing can happen to him. He said, all right. He said, you go ahead and afflict him. Go ahead and afflict him. He said, only don't touch his life. And Satan took away everything that man had. Took away all of his possessions. He was a wealthy land baron. He had cattle. He had horses. He had goats and sheep and she-asses and camels. All those things. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And the Lord allowed Satan to take all of it away. All of it away. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, are you going to forget me? Forever? The old writers say that ordeal that took place in the book of Job lasted 7 years. 7 years before the Lord restored Job to that place of prosperity and that place of 7 sons and 3 daughters. 7 years. 7 years that ordeal went on. Old Job sat there sit there on that pile of ashes, throw those ashes and scrape those boils and sores after he had lost everything. Don't you know that Job went through Job's, don't you know it went through his mind? How long, O Lord, are you going to forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long? Verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul? How long shall I toss and turn and come up with solutions to what's going on in my life? And none of them's to any avail. Have you ever done that? Have you thought, this is how I'm going to get out of this mess? This is what I'm going to do. And you try these things, it don't take it away. It don't take away that burden. It don't take away that sorrow. It don't take away that grief. It just keeps going on and on, and you may get away from it just for a minute. Something may sidetrack you just for a minute. Oh, but quickly you come right back and you focus on this grief, this sorrow, this pain, this suffering, and you come up with solutions and none of it work. And David said, how long, Lord, are you going to leave me to get me out of this mess? How long are you going to leave me to come up with a solution? How long? Look at that. The middle part of verse 2. Having sorrow in my heart daily. Daily. It just goes on and on and on and on. Lord, have you forgotten about me? Have you forgotten about me? Look at Isaiah 49. Look at this here. Isaiah 49. Have you forgot about me, Lord? Look at this. Isaiah 49, verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted His people, and will have mercy upon His afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. That's exactly what David's saying there, isn't it? How long, O Lord, are you going to forget me? Have you forgotten me forever? Look at this, verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child? Is that possible? Is that possible for, oh, you dear young mothers, can you forget that child? And you know what? The older you get, I don't think, they're bigger. They're bigger children, but you don't ever forget them. They're still your child. Frank's still your child. He's still your little boy. How long can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Look at this. Yeah. Yeah, they may. They may forget. You see that? And we see that some in our day. Can you, the awfulness, the atrocities that's committed against small children. Can they forget? Yeah, they can. Yeah, they can. But look at this. This is God talking. This is God talking to me and you. Yet will I not forget thee. That ought to settle it right there, hadn't it? That's enough right there. God said it. I believe it. We can go home. We can go home and be happy. Even in trouble. Even in trouble. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long, look at that, the latter part of verse 2. How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? What is this enemy? Is it without? Is it Absalom? Is it something that's going on without, outside of the believer? We have troubles. We have enemies. And they seem to be exalted over us. They seem to have the preeminence. They seem to be able to cause us conflict and sorrow and grief. Whatever it is that's going on in David's life, it could be without or it could be within. David could be convicted so grievously in his heart about what he said, what he's done, what he's thought, what he's purposed. Those things, those thoughts that come through our minds. Where in the world did that come from? How can I possibly think something like that? Where does that come from? And that turmoil and that conflict that goes on. Lord, I'm in trouble here. I'm in trouble. I sorrow daily. Have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten me? Have you hidden your face from me forever? Verse 3, look at this. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. I'm in trouble and I'm going to be overwhelmed by this trial. Whatever it is that's going on in David's life. Lord, will you hear me? Will you hear me when you consider, O Lord my God, will you lighten mine eyes? Will you lighten my eyes? Let light once more shine on the object of my faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you fan that fire of faith and hope that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of this trouble? Will you let me see what's really valuable? Will you let me see what's really important? Will you let me see the object of my faith, the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you lighten my eyes? Will you take away those scales? Will you illuminate that darkness? Will you let me see my Savior once again? Like I've seen Him so often in the past. Lord, lighten my eyes. Will you lighten my eyes? Will you lighten my eyes? Lest I sleep the sleep of death. Now listen, it's David's fearful of death here. We know David's not fearful of dying. You remember when he was just a mere strap of a young man, and his dad sent him up there with some provisions for his older brothers. They was up there fighting against the Philistines up there. You remember that story. Goliath was that champion of the Philistines, And he'd come out there. He'd come out there for 40 days every day. Come out there and challenge that whole army. Stood about 9 feet tall, His coat of mail, that protection that he had, weighed more than probably King David weighed, And he'd come out there and challenge him every day and curse and make fun of God and laugh at him like people in our day do. And David went up there and he had some loaves and some things, provisions for his brother. And he just happened to be there at the time this Philistine, Goliath, came out there and challenged that army. And he looked at his brothers and he said, "You going to let that happen? You going to let that uncircumcised Philistine, you going to let him blaspheme our God?" And they said, "Why don't you go on back home and take care of that few sheep that Dad gave you to take care of?" And he said, "Oh no." He said, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" David wasn't afraid. David wasn't afraid. He said, "I'll go down there and fight him." And old Saul took off his armor. You remember that? Saul was a big man, 6'5". David's 5'8", He said, "Here, take my armor." And David said, "I don't need that stuff." Goliath was covered completely from head to toe. Except for right there, one spot right there, just above his eyes. And David went walking down there in that valley, and there stood Goliath laughing and made, is this who you're sending out to fight me? This boy? And David scooping up them little smooth stones from the stream all the time he's walking. He puts one of them in that sling and hits old Goliath right there in the forehead, just like that. David ain't afraid of dying. David knows God. David rests in the arm of God's strength. And ain't nothing going to happen to David. And ain't nothing going to happen to any one of us. Not anything's going to happen to one of God's children until God purposes it to happen. And then we sure don't want to be found fighting against our God. We bow to it. We rest in it. Lord, You purposed it. You brought it to pass. It's got to be good. It's got to be right. Amen. But David's saying here, lest he sleep the sleep of death. David's saying before God, he's saying, "I'm fearful here that this is going to overwhelm me. This is shaking me to the foundation of my faith. This is shaking my whole hope and rest and comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, will You help me? Will You consider the mess I'm in here? And I can't do anything to help me. Help me or I'm going to sleep the sleep of death. I'm going to go the way of the world." Verse 4, "Lest mine enemies say, I've prevailed against him." Lest my enemies say, "I've prevailed against him, and those that rejoice, that trouble me, rejoice when I'm moved." I certainly won't try to deceive anybody. I know how to carry hard feelings. I shouldn't. No believer should. I know how to. I've told this before, Cecil. They used to say down there at the mill, he said, that's what they made them grudges for, to carry. And I could carry one. I could carry one hard in a long time. Shouldn't be that way. But I don't think, honestly, I've thought about this. I don't think I've ever carried one to the point. There was a fellow years ago, our oldest son was a heck of a high school basketball player. I mean, he was something. He could light it up. He'd score 50 points several times. But anyhow, there was another fellow. He was on the team. His dad, this boy wasn't much good. And his dad, boy, I tell you, he said some awful things about our son. And he said them in the community. He was a businessman, had a business. And word got back to me. And boy, I tell you what, I carried it hard feelings for him. It's been 25 years. Well, here a couple years ago, I run into him at a high school basketball game. And he's an old man now. He's almost 80 and he's all crippled up. He's battled cancer 2 or 3 times. He's just a shell of a man. And I don't want that on him. I don't want that on him. I can carry a grudge and I can have hard feelings, but I don't want that visited on somebody. I mean, even for that, you know. Watch what David's saying here. David's saying here, they that trouble me, they rejoice when I'm moved. Isn't that an awful thing? When a believer goes through a time of trouble, and believers do, we know that. This is a man after God's own heart. He's going through trouble, deep trouble, grievous trouble. And for those to stand out there and laugh at him and to rejoice over that trouble, that's heartless, that's cold, that's mean, that's a mean spirit. But that's what David's saying. And the enemies of David, that's what they were doing. Here's David. You remember that when Absalom took over the throne and David had to leave? This was King David. This was the finest empire on the face of the earth at that time. And David's leaving in shame. And he's going out of town. And he's got his entourage with him. He's got Joab and he's got some of those faithful men, those that stayed with David no matter what, through thick and thin. And there was that man named Shimei. You remember that? He followed after David and laughed at him and made fun of him, even threw rocks at him. And I think it was Joab said, "You give the word, David, I'll go over and take his head off. I'll go over and cut his head off." David said, "Leave him alone. Leave him alone." Shimei was laughing at the calamity that fell on David. This is one of God's choice servants. This is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, a child of God Almighty. And God's brought him into a time of trouble, and he's leaving. And people are laughing at him and making fun of him. And that's what David said here. That's what David said here. Don't let this happen. Don't let mine enemy say, "I've prevailed against him." And those that trouble me, don't let them rejoice. Don't let them rejoice when I'm moved. Don't let that happen, Lord. Lord, don't let that happen. Now look here at verse 5. Something's happened between verses 1, 2, 3, 4 and verse 5. Look at this. Look at this. There's no more complaining. There's no more weeping. There's no more crying. Something's happened. David's been in a time of prayer. Have you ever done this? I can tell you honestly, I've done it. I've done it and done it. I mean, it seems like the world is caving in on me. And you go to the Lord in prayer. And I like to recite the Lord's Prayer. You know, our Lord told us Himself. He said, when you pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. I won't even get through it. I won't even get through it. And it just seems like the burden's lifted. The trouble's gone. The trial is just not that, it's just not that severe now that I can't bear it. And here David is. How long, O Lord? How long are You going to forget me? Forever? How long are You going to hide Your face from me? Forever? Are You never going to comfort me again? Are You never going to take me in Your arms, pull me up close to Your blood-stained side, and comfort my broken heart? Are You not going to do that to me again? Sometimes we feel that way. But here in verse, look at this in verse 5. It just seems like David has just settled down. It's just all, the edge is taken off whatever the trial is. Whatever the trouble is, David just settled down. And he said, "But Lord, I've trusted in Thy mercy. You've showed mercy to me." And this look, this today, let's just sit down sometime today and just look back. Just look back on our lives. Not what's going on right now. Not what's going on today. But look at what's happened up to now. Look at how merciful He's been to us. Look at how He's carried us and provided and protected us and defended us and shielded us and delivered us every step of the way. That's what David just, now that the fit's over here for David, and he's just settled down and he said, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I've trusted in Your mercy. You've been merciful to me." However old David was here. Is he 60? Is he 50? Is he 70? Is this just before he died? I don't know how old he is, but he said, I've trusted in Your mercy. And look at this. My heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation. It's Your salvation, Lord. You purposed it in eternity past. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. It's in the Lord in its planning. It's in the Lord in it's of the Lord in its execution. It's of the Lord in its ultimate perfection. It's of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. He said, it's Your salvation. You purposed it in eternity past. You set Your affection on me. Gave me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And my Lord came and died for me. and gave me His perfect righteousness. And I'm kept by Thy power. And He's just settled down. Everything's in perspective now. It's just all settled down. I've trusted in Your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation. Look at this. Verse 6. Here he was. Lord, have You forgotten me? This is David here. I'm in trouble. And it seems like You've forgotten me. It seems like You've hidden Your face from me. And I'm trying the best I can to work this thing out. And everything I do is wrong. It just turns out wrong. And people's laughing at me, making fun of me. And they're rejoicing over my trouble and the grief that I'm in. Lord, have You forgotten me? Now, just wait a minute here, David. It's just like the Lord just reached and just tenderly, David, it is well, it is well. You remember that song? Way back there, 100 years ago, there was a man in Chicago, wealthy man. His name was Horatio Spafford. And Horatio Spafford had owned a bunch of businesses. And that fire burned all of his possessions. He was penniless, lost everything. But he had a little bit of savings. And he had three daughters, I believe it was. And he put them on an ocean liner to go to England. And him and his wife was going to catch up with them. Put them three girls on an ocean liner to go to England. And on the way to England, that ocean liner encountered a violent storm at sea. And the ocean liner sank and them three girls died. And Horatio Spafford, he cleaned up these affairs there in Chicago and caught a train to New York, and they caught a ship to go to London. And when they got to that place, the captain made the announcement, this was where that ship sank. And Horatio Spafford went out on the deck of that ship, and he sat down, and he wrote, "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, is well with my soul." That's what's going on here. That's what's going on here. David's in trouble. David's in trouble. But yet, from going to the Lord in prayer, he says, settle down. I've trusted in Your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation. And now, instead of weeping and wringing his hands and sorrowful, David said, I'll sing unto the Lord. That's what we're going to do here in a minute. Sing unto the Lord. Because He hath dealt bountifully with me. Can we say that? Can we say that? In the midst of trouble, in the midst of heartache and sorrow, He's dealt bountifully with me. He has just poured out His blessing upon me. Now, I believe At this time, turn to Psalm 27. I believe at this time, after this is just Dale talking here. I believe this is when David wrote Psalm 27. After this, he wrote Psalm 27. And he says, look at that, verse 1. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. And now verse 14, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And you know the interesting thing about this Psalm 13? There's nowhere in there that God recorded that He took away the trouble that David was going through. Did you notice that? When David said, I trusted in Thy mercy, David was still in the same trouble he was in verse 1. Still going on. And it may be the Lord will visit us with that last goes on and on and on. Aren't you so glad that this is in the Word of God? This is not somebody down there at work testifying to you. This is God testifying to you about a man after His own heart. one that the Lord Jesus Christ died for and gave that perfect righteousness. And he's in a time of trouble. And the Lord settles him down. And he looks to Christ and rests in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that's been a blessing. All right. Brother Mike.